Well, good evening, Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our colleagues. If you're out there across America, we welcome your calls at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. If you're here on the Central Coast of California, the number is 464-8295. But please hold your calls because, of course, we have with us Chris Sapp, and, of course, Judge Chris Sapp. He's been a judge in the past, but we're going to talk about the pro-life movement, and of course, some of the exciting things that are happening. And Chris Sapp has brought some cases for the pro-life movement that have actually been successful. And what the average individual doesn't understand is, in many respects, we're winning the war for human life. Thank you so very much for being with us today.
Good to be here, Doctor. Well, always a pleasure.
Why don't you tell our listeners just a little bit about yourself? You have been a judge. You're a practicing attorney now?
Yes, I am, Doctor. I was a judge some years back. The state of Florida had a problem in what is basically the Big Cypress area of Florida. And to put it diplomatically, there were quite a few rowdy people down there, and the state wanted the area known as the Last Frontier brought under control. So they set up a special criminal court for a special district down that way, and I got to be the judge. And for better or worse, I brought it under control. It was sort of a bittersweet experience putting an end to the last American frontier, but that was my job.
All right, fine. Was there a lot of lawlessness down there? What was happening?
There was a great deal of violence. There was a great deal of shooting and knifing.
All right. Well, of course, then that has to be put a stop to. You can't have a civilized society and have that going on.
That had been the experience on the American frontier for a few hundred years, and we've got other frontiers. We've got them in space, medicine, law, but as far as the traditional frontier where the settlers from Europe battled against the elements, whether were in conflict with the Indians, that was the end of it.
All right, fine. Well, let's talk a little bit about your involvement in the pro-life battle, because this is a very real battle that's going on today against those who honor God's dictum that human life is important, and the pro-death lobby, which seems so intent upon killing as many unborn children as they can. And, of course, the abortion industry is a despicable thing, and yet, of course, it's been legalized. And the question is, what can we do about it? And you've been on the front lines of that battle, haven't you?
Yes, I have, Doctor, and I have found that the triumphs that we come by are always on a biblical basis. Let me explain that just a little more. Satan has a great deal of resources in this world at his disposal, but the Bible has and always will be true, and it tells us that the enemy digs his own pits, sets his own snares, builds his own gallows. And
we're going to have to interrupt you there, but we'll be back in just a moment. All right, well, our guest this afternoon is Chris Sapp, and Chris Sapp is a practicing attorney. He's been a judge in the past, But of course, now he's back in private practice. We're going to be talking about what's happening in the pro-life fight as far as a lawyer who's on the side of life and the side of preserving this most precious condition that God has created, human life. And so you were saying that you feel that Satan really has a plan. He has all sorts of snares out there. We're not awful careful. We'll get caught up in them. Is that right?
Absolutely, Doctor. But at the same time, the abortion industry, which is clearly an agent of Satan, whenever we give it the opportunity, fall into its own pit. For instance, abortion is always a crime against the unborn child. In a great many instances, probably a majority of the abortions, it's also a crime against the mother. Quite often, the mother is not there of her own volition. If you look at the statistics, murder is the number one cause of death. It's the leading cause of death of pregnant women. You can see that on the Now website. The studies have been done about the dangers to pregnant women show that they are more likely to be murdered than die of any cause. This surprises some in the abortion industry. I took the deposition of a leading abortionist yesterday, and he was asked what was the leading cause of death among pregnant women, and he thought it was embolisms and blood clots and such as that. But the truth of the matter is that pregnant women die horrible deaths, that they're murdered. And the main reason is because they're pregnant.
Well, now, of course, it's just usually their husband who marries them, who murders them, or who murders them.
It's boyfriends, husbands. Once in a long while, it may be a father or mother. But it's because the woman is pregnant. The obvious way that she can escape this risk is by becoming unpregnant.
All right, we're going to be back here in just a moment with Chris Sapp and exploring these factors dealing with pregnancy and so much more. Well, this is Dr. Stan here, and our guest this afternoon is Chris Sapp, who's an attorney who works with pro-life groups and has certainly brought suit against a number of abortionists for some of the terrible, terrible things that they do and for their harming of women. And, of course, there are many women who are permanently harmed in one way or another because, of course, the malpractice by abortionists. And I hate to say it, but this may be one of the few ways we have of beginning to shut down the clinics across America where they're killing the unborn. So why don't you pick up the story from there?
Sure, Doctor. As we've talked before, violence against pregnant women is a national epidemic. And the reason that the violence is directed against them, it is because they are pregnant. The boyfriend, the husband, may view the child as competition for affection. Certainly, it's additional expense and responsibility. It may involve lack of or loss of control over the girlfriend or the wife. But for all these myriad reasons, a vast number of women are being killed. They're also being threatened with death and horrible beatings if they don't get abortions. It's my experience as a counselor on the sidewalk at abortion clinics that at least a third and possibly as many as 65-70% of the women that go through the door to seek an abortion are not there of their own free will. So we've got a situation this nation where upwards of 1 million abortions every year are done on women who are there through fear of beatings or death. They're there because they're forced to be there, because they're coerced to be there. And to the extent that we can put a stop to that, we're saving hundreds of thousands, possibly as many as 1 million lives of babies. We're saving upwards of a million women a year from horrible crimes that will haunt them all of their life if we can put a stop to coerced and forced abortions. Satan has given us that opportunity through the federal statute called FACE, Freedom of Access to Clinic Entrances. Case that I'm involved in has involved a pregnant woman who changed her mind about getting the abortion while she was at the abortion clinic, was forced by the abortionist and four of his cohorts to endure a horrible abortion, screaming all the way, put up a fight. It ended in the abortionist killing the child, pulling her intestines out of her, cutting part of them off. Horrible, horrible situation. But I'm not saying that each and every coerced or forced abortion has this kind of grotesque fact situation, but they all involve an assault and abuse of the mother and the death of the child.
Well, of course, ordinarily when you do an abortion, you either do an epidural or spinal block, or you put the mother to sleep. This woman changed her mind when she got into the delivery room, abortion room?
She had come on her own, doctor, so they couldn't give her any anesthesia. She had driven herself there.
Well, of course, they shouldn't have done it if there wasn't somebody to look after her afterwards. That was a gross oversight on their part.
Well, and they certainly shouldn't have done it once she said she wanted out of the building.
Well, of course, did they say that? Well, that's just because she's had some pre-medication. She's not thinking clearly. What was it?
She hadn't had any medication. She just simply changed her mind. And they obviously didn't want to let her go without doing the abortion. The abortionist had an assembly line procedure going. I believe he was getting $75 per head.
And how many could he do in an hour?
Oh, he could do several. Five, six. By most people's standards, several hundred dollars an hour is rather lucrative.
All right, fine. So basically, did he have the staff hold the woman down there? What happened?
She put up such a fight that while he was able to kill the child, he also severely tore up her uterus. He went through her uterus in the struggle using an instrument they call the bear, managed to hook on to her intestines, pulled part of her intestines out of her. In order to release his instrument, he just simply took a knife or a scalpel and cut off a chunk of her intestines.
Well, of course, did he recognize what he'd done?
He did.
All right, fine. Did he take her immediately to the hospital then?
No, he took some time trying to figure out what to do. She believes he thought about letting her bleed to death. After quite a while, he did call for an ambulance, but he asked that the ambulance driver come slowly without the lights and siren.
Now, of course, that, of course, really puts him into a very, very difficult position before any court of law, wouldn't it?
It takes away any opportunity for the man to say that he was acting in any way out of concern for this poor woman.
And, of course, he didn't want the lights or siren because he didn't want anybody to get upset or to feel that there was emergency there at the abortion clinic.
That's correct. He didn't want to lose any business.
All right, fine. So Then, of course, the woman goes to the hospital. Requires a lot of transfusions, and do they have to do a hysterectomy on her, or what?
She did not need they managed to sew her up. It took several hours, but the surgeon was so skillful that a hysterectomy was not needed.
All right, fine. So they had to repair the bowel, though.
Yes, they did.
All right, fine.
Quite a piece cut out.
All right, fine. Of course, now, what is his defense for this? That, well, of course, she didn't know what she was doing when she changed her mind, or what?
What the defense attorneys have done is treat it as a malpractice case rather than an intentional wrongdoing under face.
All right. Now, what about
where we've sued?
What about the women who were the people working in the surgical suite? Have they testified as to what happened?
There's really no conflict. We've taken the abortionist's deposition and several of the others, and the abortionist agrees with my client about what happened. Like I say, they're trying to make it a malpractice case. And under malpractice laws here in Florida, they would be exonerated. This is not malpractice. It's the state's position that what happened to my client is not unusual in abortion clinics, so it's not a deviation from standard care, and there is no malpractice. Fortunately, the abortion industry had passed or caused Congress to pass the freedom of access to clinic entrances, and it's our position, which has been supported by the federal appeals courts, that there are two sides to a door. If it's a crime to block people going in through a door, then the same crime applies if you're prevented from going out through that same door. And since they prevented her from going out, we have a case under the freedom of access to clinic entrances.
Isn't that an interesting twist on the law? But then sometimes you have to do things like that.
Well, it's really not a twist. Doors have two sides to them.
I see. And actually, the courts then have agreed with your interpretation.
Yes. Much to the surprise of the abortion industry, the U.S. Court of Appeals in Atlanta agreed with our position. And the Supreme Court has been asked twice to change that position and has refused to do so.
So basically what they're saying is that this will stand. You now have a legitimate case, and you're going to go after the abortionist because he really, this wasn't simply a matter of malpractice. The fact that he delayed getting this woman who knew he had a perforated bowel into adequate medical hands showed that there was almost a conspiracy on his part.
You're absolutely right, Doctor, and we're seeking damages for intentional wrongdoing, not for an accident, not for negligence. But this is a case for serious intentional wrongdoing, and if it were being prosecuted in the courts, which at some point in the future, I believe that the Attorney General will start bringing actions against these abortionists under face, it would be a crime punishable by many years in federal prison.
All right, fine. Well, now, are the courts becoming more favorable then to the pro-life position? And we're going to have to take a break, and when we get back, of course, we want to explore the apparent changing attitudes on the part of some of our courts towards abortion. Because as the attitude of the American people has shifted, as the American people realize the original Roe versus Wade and other court cases were all built upon a lie that these women have went to the Supreme Court and they all lied, and now they've all recanted, and of course they regret that, of course, they've allowed this Holocaust that's killed almost 42 million children recently and since Roe versus Wade. We'll be right back here in just a moment at Radio Liberty.
Hello, garlic lovers. This is Radio Health journalist Bill Sardi to talk to you about a breakthrough in garlic technology. It's called Alamet. You know all the healthy reasons to take garlic, but isn't it time you got your money's worth? A recent study found the 24 leading brands of garlic pills provided little, if any, allicin, garlic's primary active ingredient. Try Alamex, which is the only odorless garlic supplement to provide pure allicin, a full 180 milligrams. That's the power of 15 fresh cloves of garlic. Alamex isn't available in stores, so call 866-405-4000. That's Alamex at 866-405-4000.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time I want to mention a couple of things. One of them is, if we had a serious problem in America, and I will tell you that the government is planning on it, they're laying in massive food supplies. Of course, that's for government employees, and they're building underground bunkers for people in the government, like Dick Cheney. But, of course, they're telling you, well, you have a three-day supply of food on hand, and don't you worry, we're from the government. We're here to help ourselves. I mean, we're here to help you. Well, let me suggest that one of the things you should do, in addition to having adequate food supplies, and if you'd like to know about that, just give us a call at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for a Ready Reserve food catalog, because it has not only food, but all the other things you'd need in a serious emergency situation. But also you need a means of filtering your water so you could drink pond or river water or a creek water or any sort of water so they'd be potable. And what the missionaries have used for years is a big Berkey. It's a stainless steel water filter. Filters 2.5 gallons at a time, about 25 gallons a day of water from lakes or rivers or ponds, and filters out the bacteria and many of the chemicals. They have ceramic filters. It's called a big Berkey. And it's been a standard for many years. Ordinarily, they're $279. Of course, we have them for $239, and we offer a four-tape set or a video we produced if you buy it through us by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And then, of course, since this Big Berkey cannot be sold in either Iowa or the state of California, there is a Berkey Light. It's $199. Instead of having stainless steel, it's made out of a clear plastic, so you can, it's what they make a bulletproof glass out of, but you can see right through you. And of course, it has a different filter, much more efficient filter. They're called water purification filters, and they filter out, do an excellent job on taking out so many things that, of course, the traditional filters won't. But the filters have to be changed more frequently. These are $199, and the same offer as far as the tapes out of the video. Call us at 1-800-544-8927 and ask for a Berkey Light. Or go to our website at RadioLiberty.com, where you can actually see them and see what you'd like to get. And then, of course, we mentioned, too, we carry the Miracle 2 soap products, and we can't make any medical claims, but I will tell you that many of our users, many of our listeners who've used the Miracle 2 soap products have wonderful, wonderful stories to tell about how it's helped them in so many ways. There is a soap, there is a moisturizing soap, a lotion, a gel, and a neutralizing solution. And if you want information on them, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And I will tell you that many of our listeners feel that their miracle have done miracles for them. So if you'd like to try the Miracle 2 soap products, call us at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And, of course, you can get a special introductory offer at a special reduced price again, 1-800-544-8927. Well, Dr. Stan, back here at Radio Liberty, our guest this afternoon is Chris Sapp, and he's telling us about, of course, what's happening on the legal field, especially in Florida where he's working. Are the courts perhaps taking a second look at this abortion industry that's killed over 42 million Americans in, since 1973. It's, what, 30 years now? And, of course, this is one reason why we have to bring all the immigrants from other countries, because we have to keep a base of people so that they will be paying for the Social Security and Medicare and all these social services. The only trouble is that they're going to be eligible for them in the future. And instead of having children born here, we're bringing in people from other countries, for other cultures, with other languages, who have, many of them, no loyalty to America at all. They're just here for the materialism, without understanding the cultural foundation of our freedom, and without an understanding that we were founded as a Christian nation, and without Christian values, why this country cannot survive. So why don't you pick up the story from there, Chris?
Be pleased to, Doctor. What is happening is the few pro-life attorneys that are continuing to bring cases are acquiring a little more vision than we've had in the past. In the past, we've just reacted. We've defended. We haven't been plaintiff's attorneys, and we haven't been aggressive in bringing cases against the abortion industry. Also, the people that work in the legislature are not just here but around the country are becoming more and more aware of the horrible abuses that go on in the abortion clinics. They've been just sort of a free fire zone against women and children in the past, but states such as South Carolina and Indiana are imposing regulations which are saving the lives of thousands and thousands of women and children.
Now, I think it's so important that you point out that, you know, there are very, very strict government regulations for hospitals, for nursing homes, for convalescent hospitals, but no regulations at all for places where they kill unborn children.
Very, very few. Here in Florida, there have been some minor regulations, but basically the abortion industry has been treated as some sort of sacred cow, where virtually any atrocity could be done or performed on a pregnant woman, and she was unable to receive any sort of justice. This horrible, horrible forced abortion situation that I've described was reported to the state health care officials. They declined to take any action, saying that a woman that went to an abortion clinic ought to expect this sort of treatment, that it was not beneath the standard of care that occurs in Florida abortion clinics.
Yeah, I mean, no anesthesia at all. I wonder how many would like to have their daughter go through something like that without an anesthesia.
And be butchered. I think that probably the sanitary requirements for meatpacking plants in Florida is far greater than what goes on in some of these abortion clinics. One of them that I worked in front of with my wife apparently had an abortionist that normally didn't sterilize his equipment. And that the local medical society, not the health authorities, but the doctors were so horrified in that community that as best they could, they advised all women that had been there to be tested for AIDS. They got no support from the state or the county health department, but God bless them, they did what they could. The United States Supreme Court, in passing Roe v. Wade, Doe v. Bolton, and a series of cases, has talked about its concern for the health and safety of women. Fortunately, the pro-life legal community is starting to cite portions of these landmark cases in support of regulations of the abortion industry, protection of women and children, and we're using the applicable portions of Roe and Doe and Casey and Thornburg, Hill v. Colorado,
We're going to have to interrupt you right there. We'll be back in just a moment with Chris Sapp. Welcome your calls here at 464-8295. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and let me tell you about a few of the other products that we carry. And certainly, of course, if you are concerned about what's happening to our country, if you're concerned about our fading freedom, perhaps you'd like to do something. And something you can do in your own home or your own community would be to establish an Institute of the Constitution. And, of course, you do that simply by calling the Institute itself at 410-760-6759. That's 410-760-6759. And asking about setting up an institute, actually, there are three videos that are prepared by Dr. Eidsmo. There are two additional videos by David Barton. There's a book that has all the transcripts of the talks, of the questions that you ask at the end of the talk, the answers to the questions. It's a turnkey situation. All you have to do is arrange for it. Give them a call at the Institute of the Constitution, or go to their website, itoc.com. That's itoc.com. The telephone number again, 410-760-6759. And then, of course, let me mention that, of course, we carry Phonopoly sets. Phonopoly is a board game played like Monopoly, but, of course, it is designed to teach children who are the victims of government schools, who have difficulty reading and spelling and pronouncing words, how to do this. And they do it, of course, by playing the board game. In 16 hours, you can undo all the harm that's been done. Phonopoly is a phenomenal way of learning. I've had so many reports, even from adults who've actually bought this for themselves. So if you love your children and grandchildren, the best thing you can do is allow them to learn to read. Phonopoly, ordinarily these programs are $3, $4, $5, $6, $100 or more. This program is $139.95. In 16 hours, all you need to know, the rules of the English language, it's all right there, and you'll enjoy it as much as they will. It's called Phonopoly. Give us a call at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And then, of course, as far as the education is concerned, we carry the Robinson Homeschool Curriculum. It's 22 CDs and everything you need to teach your child from grammar school all the way up to high school graduation is there, including the textbooks. The only thing you have to buy separate are the Saxon math books. A wonderful program. Dr. Robinson raised his children on this. I know Dr. Robinson, his two sons, actually, when they finished the high school course, they went into the third year of college. They were so far ahead of the other children, gone to government schools where they've been intentionally and purposely dumbed down. They do it here. You can go to a European school. These kids are so much farther ahead than ours. And, of course, it didn't happen by accident. If you'd like to know more about the Robinson Homeschool Curriculum, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, because our children are under attack today. Well, Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest today is Chris Sapp. We're talking about the attack on, well, on every aspect of our society. And, of course, one of the attacks came during the Vietnam War. In fact, one of the reasons for the Vietnam War was to distract the American people from what was happening. Just as, of course, the present war is going to be used in an effort to bring socialized medicine in one form or another into America, to reform Medicare and all of these things. And whenever they tell you they're going to do something for you, you have to understand what they're really going to do is create more problems. There's no problem facing America today. That more government programs won't make worse. When I practiced medicine, you could, get a hospital room for $50, and you would be taken care of. You go to the hospital, you were well cared of, took care of. You could get a back rub every night. Trying to get a back rub or expecting that is like expecting to get a refund when you leave the hospital. It just isn't going to happen. So you have to understand they've run the price from $50 a day up to $2,000, $3,000, $4,000, $5,000, $6,000, $8,000 a day in our hospitals. It's all been done by government interference with medicine and the private practice of medicine. They've turned a noble profession into a business, into a competitive business, and really destroyed this wonderful profession that I valued so much during the years I practiced. So you have to understand that the current series of wars that we've entered now will be used to bring socialized medicine, but just exactly as Vietnam was used, of course, to get through this legislation, Roe versus Wade. to say that somewhere in the Constitution they'd suddenly found the right for a woman to have an abortion. Now they've all even found the right for partial birth abortion for killing the child after it's well out of the mother's womb. But apparently there are some changes that are taking place, at least at some of the states. So would you like to pick up and talk about that, Chris?
Be pleased to, Doctor. I say that ironically. I'm sorry, either one of us has to talk about such massive international evil. But here in the United States, some of us attorneys are learning that the Bible always shows us the way out of dilemmas. It's always a light to show us the path that we're supposed to walk. There are so many examples of people such as David drawing Goliath's horrible sword and chopping off his head with it.
Yeah, but he used his own sword to destroy him. What you're suggesting is you're going to use their sword to chop off their head, or at least to limit what they're doing.
I think that we can ultimately destroy the abortion industry with laws and precedents that they've created. For instance, it as far as protecting the unborn child, if we protect the mother so well that she doesn't get an abortion, even though we may not have caused the Supreme Court to grant human status to the unborn child, the result is the same. Now, under Roe v. Wade and the line of cases that allow destruction of these young people, that there is much said about the court's concern for the life and health and well-being of women. We too share in the concern for the life and health and well-being of women, but not just their physical health, their moral health, their spiritual health, and we can use these cases to protect their spiritual health and their moral health. We can use laws such as freedom of access to clinic entrances to protect women. And if we're doing a first-rate job of protecting women, we will stop most of the abortions within the next few years. Ultimately, without the child receiving human status, I believe we can stop virtually all abortions just with imaginative, visionary use of the precedents and laws that we have right now. We're told that without vision, the people perish, and that has certainly been true in this nation. The pro-life community, and more particularly its lawyers, have not been visionaries in the past.
Well, I understand now that in the state of South Carolina, there have been some real restrictions placed on abortion clinics, so that almost a half of the abortion clinics where they murder the unborn children have been actually closed down. Is that true?
That's correct, Doctor. If your figures are accurate. Just the last two or three years, the numbers that I'm aware of show that the abortion clinics in South Carolina have gone from 10 to 5.
Now, my understanding is also that the incidence of abortion nationwide has fallen significantly. It was about 1.5 million a year. Where are we now?
I believe we're down to about 1.2 million.
All right. Now, that's a significant decrease. And I think that probably some of the programs out there, the educational programs, the television programs that people are financing, just talking about abortion and showing that this is a real live human being in utero. When you see that, a little face and the little hands, and you realize that there's a heartbeat at, you know, about 21 days, and there's brain activity at, you know, 28 or 30 days, something like that. Yeah, people don't understand that this is a living human being. They don't want them to understand because there is another agenda. It's very profitable to kill these unborn children.
And the people that profit the most, doctor, are those that control the health insurance industry. And whereas an abortionist, if he's doing a contract work, may be getting $65, $75, $80 a head, literally. If he kills a child with say Down syndrome, who may have a defective heart, he has probably saved the health industry $75,000 to $100,000. The killing of unborn children is far more lucrative for the insurance industry
than for the abortionist. Huh?
Than for the abortionist, because quite often 1,000 times more profitable. And there's an expression, "Cherchez la femme," that the French use. If you're trying to solve an unsavory situation or crime, you follow the woman.
All right, fine. I was just going to say, if a wife is killed, you've been looking for the girlfriend first of all.
Well, I was just using that as a lead to the expression in this country. It ought to be "Cherchez le dollar."
Right. Well, I think they say follow the dollars, because if you start looking who's going to benefit from so much of what's going on, sometimes you get a rather surprising conclusion.
It is, doctor, and the truth of the matter is that there are so few abortionists, relatively speaking. Now they're killing vast numbers of children. But if you look at how few there are and how poorly they articulate themselves and how relatively few supporters they have, the political clout, that their influence on the courts and the administration and the legislatures is far, far, far out of proportion to their innate abilities. And to explain that, I believe you look to the health insurance with billions and billions of savings every year in the killing of children. Not just children with heart defects or medical needs, but it costs far more to bring a child into this world through natural birth than it does through an abortion.
In other words, by the time you get put through paying the doctor and the hospital and the, you're talking probably $15,000,
$20,000? Sure, and they can pay the abortion clinic $350 or $400 to kill the child. So it's there's a perspective here that the pro-life community has overlooked. We have focused on the abortionists and that their supporters in what are ludicrously called women's rights organizations as being the focal point for the legal and political power that's exerted in this country. But the truth is, it's far more sinister, it's far more back in the shadows, and it emanates from the health insurance industry.
A very interesting thought. I've never even considered that before, Chris. But is this becoming increasingly the thinking of the attorneys who are involved in that?
We're just becoming aware of how massive this evil octopus is and where the tentacles go. And we've been rather naive. We have not been visionaries. We have tended to think, well, it's it's the abortionists or maybe their friends at NARAL that are calling the shots in Congress and the Supreme Court. But the more you get around these people, when you sit on the other side of the table from them at a deposition and lawsuits, you start realizing how bankrupt they are morally, and how little of ability they have to actually influence others.
Well, you know, one of the terrible things is that, of course, our government is financing abortions not only here but throughout the world, giving massive amounts of money to Planned Parenthood, who indoctrinates our girls that, you know, there's just nothing to it. You know, it's just like having a menstrual period. That's all there is to it. Without ever bothering to tell them that I think there's a 65% increased incidence of depression in women who've had abortions, and certainly the increased incidence of breast carcinoma, which they try to cover up by all sorts of phony science and by threats and intimidation. They do not want women to know that when they undertake an abortion, a girl, that she's not only endangering the life of the child, which she is about to kill, but she's endangering her own life and her own mental well-being.
You're absolutely correct, Doctor. And if we in this nation did a good job of protecting women from abortion, if they knew of the horrors and evils that they were going to experience, just for their own sake, even if they somehow lack maternal instinct, if they lack the awareness about the nature of the child they're carrying, if they were properly informed and cared for, that there would be relatively few abortions done.
Well, of course, you know, there is another element, and that is the population control. People who would really like to limit the population of the world to 2 billion, 1 billion, 100 million. I mean, there are people out there who really want to kill off the majority of the people in the world. The Georgia Guidestones in Elberton talk about maintaining the world population at 500 million in constant balance with nature. That means over 90% of the world population would have to be eliminated. There really are people who think that way, who really think that man is a scourge on the earth, would be better off without them. And abortion is such an efficient first step along the road towards that. But have you looked into that aspect of it at all? And some of these people have a great deal of money and a great deal of power. I mean, that's the Ted Turners of the world. It's the Rockefellers and certainly have great tax-exempt foundations pushing this whole abortion movement.
Well, it's certainly demonic, Doctor. Some of the blame, certainly not all of it, but some of the blame lies with us. I'm aware that Ted Turner gives vast amounts of money for population control. I'm told Bill Gates does, and that Mr. Buffett with Hathaway, Warren Buffett is planning vast contributions to population control.
And Planned Parenthood,
yes. Planned Parenthood. One thing, though, that we're not doing is sitting down with these people and talking to them, and at least for openers, explaining that 10 customers are better than 5 customers. For instance, with Bill Gates, the more customers he has for his software, the more money he makes. With Warren Buffett, the more people buying shirts, the more profitable his organization is. We tend to strike ourselves out with these people before we even go to talk to them. And I'm not saying that we should approach them just purely on the basis of economics, but it doesn't make a bad opening. And as we develop relationships with these people, then we bring them to Jesus Christ. Now, if you know, the first time you're sitting with Ted Turner, if he wants to hear about your personal relationship with Jesus Christ, fantastic.
Well, of course, he divorced his wife because she became a Christian.
Well,
so I don't think it'll take an awful lot to get to Ted Turner. But
that's what they said about Saul.
I know. Well, of course, God can work in anybody's life, and who knows? I would commend you to at least try. But right now we're out of time. Our guest has been Chris Sapp. We've been talking about the abortion situation, but I want you to know that there have been some very significant decisions in our favor in South Carolina and elsewhere that are restricting what is done in the abortion clinics, and this is an excellent way to approach this in the name of course, we're there to protect and to help the women, which is, of course, what we, after all, should be about anyway. Do you have a parting thought for our listeners?
That with people such as yourself, doctor, or the remnant, that are standing between this nation and God's wrath. And I am most appreciative for you and the people that stand with you.
Well, God bless you, and thanks very much. And I agree with you. I believe that America doesn't turn back to God, and God is going to turn his back on America for certain. Thank you so very much. We'll look forward to talking to you again on one of the other programs.
It's always a privilege, Doctor.
Bye-bye. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time when I want to tell you about some of the items that we have that you really need to get. I do believe that there's a conspiracy out there, a vast conspiracy, a number of organizations energized by evil intent upon creating a new world order and a new world religion. Well, if you'd like to know how this all fits together, you need to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, and if you haven't, of course, read it, you really should. Brotherhood of Darkness is an overview. It's the end result of my 40 years of research, and you can get the book by itself, or you can get it as part of a special, which includes the book, a video, and an audio tape. The book is $12.95. The audio tape's $19.95. The tape is $7. You can get them all for $29.95. That's the Brotherhood of Darkness special. Let me suggest you get that. If you want to read the book written by Bill Clinton's mentor, Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in Our Time, it's 1,342 pages, and Bill Clinton's mentor, Professor Carol Quigley, wrote this book in 1966, and it goes into the background of the secret society which became the Council on Foreign Relations, to which Colin Powell and Dick Cheney and Condoleezza Rice and so many of the people in the Bush administration come from, but don't feel bad. Similar large numbers of the people in the Clinton administration came from there, and large numbers of people in the first Bush administration and the Reagan administration. In fact, every Secretary of State since 1953 has come from the membership roles of the Council on Foreign Relations, which was a front for a secret society. You'll find that on pages 951 and 952 of the book that Bill Clinton's mentor, Professor Carol Quigley, wrote. The book, Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in Our Time, must reading for anybody who wants to understand what's really going on in the world today. You can get the book by itself or as part of a special, and if we recommend the Tragedy and Hope special to you, has an extra book, and of course, the interview with Professor Quigley. And then, of course, we have a secret government special, and you'll actually hear Professor Quigley telling about how his book was suppressed in the secret government 4-tape set and the secret society 4-tape set and 3 2-hour and 20-minute videos. And you'll know more than most college professors about the secret organizations work behind the scenes. So for Tragedy and Hope, or Tragedy and Hope special, the Brotherhood of Darkness, or the Brotherhood of Darkness special, or for the secret government special, call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And, of course, you need to get my video, The War in Iraq, for the true story that you're never going to hear from Barbara Walters. And you need, of course, to get the syllabus to go with it, or get them both together at a reduced cost. That's Iraq, The Untold Story, of the video, the syllabus, or get the two of them together. But call right now. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time when we have to remind you that Radio Liberty is listener-supported, and we do hope that many of you out there will give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters, because that's how we're able to do what we do 5 hours a day reaching out across America with the news behind the news, the story behind the story. And for a suggested gift of $20 a month or more, well, you'll get our 4 best tapes of the month, our monthly newsletter, but you'll be helping us do what we do 5 hours every day. And then, of course, we hope that maybe some of you would like to get our newsletter. If you'd like a free copy of the newsletter, we'll be glad to send it to you. Just give us a call at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. The April newsletter goes into the genocidal policies financed by your government today. And, of course, they're not only throughout the world, they're right here in the United States. And the fact that you haven't heard about it simply reflects the degree of control that exists today over what the American people think and believe. So, if you'd like a free copy of our April newsletter, 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Well, let me suggest you go to our website at radioliberty.com, where you can listen to our programs 5 hours a day and not get anything accomplished. You can listen to our archive programs. You can see pictures of the various Big Berkey and Berkey Light, and of course you get the water filters through us. Why, of course, you'll get similar prices, but you'll get either one of our 4 tape sets or a video we produced absolutely free if you buy either the Big Berkey or the Berkey Light through Radio Liberty. But of course, we hope that you'll tell others about our website, radioliberty.com. We hope that you'll tell others, certainly, about our radio programs, because that's how we are building up our listening audience all across America. It's people telling people, telling people. And, of course, we have, of course, so many books going into the background of what's happening today. Certainly, there really are covert organizations out there. Most people don't understand that, of course, Adolf Hitler was financed by the American corporations and American banks. And this is all covered in a book called Wall Street and the Rise of Hitler. And if you're watching the docudrama that's on CBS, remember, it is on there to control your reality. You need to get Wall Street and the Rise of Hitler by Professor Sutton, going into the background of how Adolf Hitler was financed both before the war, certainly by American corporations. And, of course, there's so much more information that you need to get. And, of course, it's available to our newsletters. And, of course, you get into the background of the financing of communism. Everybody knows that communism is the enemy. But did you know that we financed communism from its very inception? Of course, that's covered in Wall Street and the Bolshevik Revolution, covered to some extent in my book, The Brotherhood of Darkness. All of these books and so many more are available from Radio Liberty at calling 1-800-5-448-927, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And, of course, you can go to our website at radioliberty.com. And, of course, you can see all of the various names and prices of all the products if you go to our website at radioliberty.com. And then, of course, we hope that many of you out there will pray for America, because we truly are involved in a spiritual battle. And our guest today was alluding to that. There really are satanic forces. This is not imaginary. This is not an X-Files story. This is what's really going on today. And many people in key positions are being manipulated by these dark and sinister spiritual forces. So we do hope that many of you, of course, not only pray for Radio Liberty, but you'll pray for our leaders. You'll pray for our ministers, because they should be leading this truly spiritual battle. And lastly, we hope that many of you will pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. And so until next week at the same time, Dr. Stan, goodbye. May the Lord be with you.